This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
We live in a noisy world. A world where, in particularly in our city, we're contending with traffic. Sometimes when I'm up here speaking and there's an ambulance that goes by because we live so near to and we worship so near to a hospital. So you may hear emergency service vehicles moving around in the traffic. There's a train line just across the way and the train rushes past and creates some noise. There are flight paths that go along the Laggan, and sometimes whenever you're out in your garden, suddenly there's the rumble of the engine of an aeroplane that brings this noise right into your garden. Construction work, crowds of people, there's so much noise in our city. There are actually few quiet places. When we live in the city, it's a noisy place. But this isn't something new or unique, actually, to our modern world, because in the 8th century, the Greeks in the city limits banned carpenters, blacksmiths, and roosters. It's not a unique situation to be frustrated and annoyed and distracted by noise. In the 8th century as well, it was when David was writing his Psalms, the 8th century BC. And he most likely wrote Psalm 37 that says, "Be still for the presence of the Lord." And during the recent lockdowns, many of us commented on how much quieter our neighborhoods were because we were moving around less, we were staying at home, we were staying still for a time. But as soon as lockdown was over, we were all active once again and the traffic built up. And the noise started to happen, and our endless activity once again began. And this can make it harder for us to notice God. Because as David says, sometimes we need to be still to notice the presence of the Lord. Our busyness creates noise that not only distracts us from God, but can sometimes even drown out the voice of God speaking to us. In David's 8th century BC world, it was just as easy to feel to hear God speak to you as it is today in 2021. But God does speak, and we should be ready to listen. In our Bible reading, we find that at first, Samuel didn't expect God to speak to him. We're told that the word of the Lord was rare at that time. And it's not surprising because the priestly leaders of Israel were corrupt, and the sons of the high priest, Eli, were among the worst of them. Despite the grand temple building that they were in to worship God, people had little interest in God. They were more interested in maintaining their grand buildings than maintaining their relationship with God. They were more interested in maintaining all the rituals and the traditions that they had inherited than maintaining their relationship with the God who introduced all of that so that they could stay close to him. They gave little time to listening to God and enjoying the wealth of God's presence and conversation with God. No one was willing to listen to God, not even the priests. Do you know, in this moment in the Bible, it's really not a great moment for God's people. And not even the apprentice priest Samuel, who spent his days in the temple of the Lord, not even he was expecting God to speak. But into this spiritual apathy, into this spiritual indifference, into this spiritual desert place and wasteland, we're told that God spoke. But God had to speak a few times before he was heard. I reckon it was simply because Samuel didn't expect God to speak. We're told in verse 7 of that chapter, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. What that basically means was Samuel personally didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't have that personal relationship with God. God was remote, mysterious, relatively unknown. Samuel hadn't any direct experience of the Lord. But this isn't surprising, because none of his elders, no one else in the community, were listening to God or encouraging Samuel to listen to God. Are we listening to God? I mean, are we actively listening and expecting God to speak to us? Many people still think our God is mute. Our God is a silent God who said everything that needs to be said here in the Bible, in these ancient texts, and that is it. God does not speak anymore. And certainly not to us. And certainly with not any relevance or meaning. Many people think God is silent because no one has encouraged them to listen in and expect God to speak right into their lives and into who they are and what is happening to them today. Sadly, it took old priest Eli a while to realize what was going on, because he too had forgotten what it was to listen to God. There's so much noise, so much distraction, so many things drowning out the voice of God for poor old Eli. We can and should expect God to speak. But are you listening? God speaks to us in many different ways. The first way that God speaks to us, the most obvious way, the most accessible way that God speaks to us in his word, recorded in the pages of the Bible. The Bible is God's primary source of revelation and the ultimate authority by which we weigh all other words we hear from God. The Apostle Paul says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right." That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. The Bible is often how God initiates a conversation with you. Because we read something, certainly I read something, and often a light goes on. A word or phrase grabs my attention. It means something. It stands out. Psalm 119 says, "God's word are like a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." And often that's how people describe it. When they read God's words, a light comes on. It shines a light into their lives and helps them to make sense of things that didn't otherwise make sense, or find a way where previously there didn't seem to be a way. We should expect to hear God speak to us when we read the Bible. When you read the Bible or hear the Bible read to you, do you always expect God to speak to you? Because you should. We should expect to hear God speak to us. And many people, including myself, have experienced this. That is why we call it the living word of God, because it comes alive whenever we actively listen to it and we take it in. And it starts to do something deep within us that we can't quite see or maybe even fathom or understand. But nevertheless, when we actively take it in, it does something in us. It changes something. It shifts something in our very being. The other way God speaks to us is a little bit more extraordinary. In dreams and visions. In Acts chapter 2, Peter reminded the church of the ancient prophecy of Joel. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." When you get to a certain age, you like to have an afternoon sleep, don't you? Or maybe without intending, you fall asleep where you're watching TV or whenever it's warm in the afternoon. Old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. Sons and daughters will prophesy. They will speak of what is to come because God has revealed something to them. This is a really powerful prophecy. Of course, any dream or receiving a vision, any dream at night or vision during the day that you feel is from God must be weighed back against Scripture and what God has said in the Bible, so we know it's from God and not just something in our imagination or one of those weird dreams that we have. And the other way that God speaks to us is through our minds, reasoning, common sense, receiving good counsel. The old proverb says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." Isn't that very much our culture? Today you hear people talking about, if it feels right to me, it felt right to me. It felt good for me. It made me happy. But when we isolate our lives, just right down to ourselves without seeking any external advice, we can end up doing things that are foolish. Or end up looking like a fool. The way a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. It is no less spiritual to receive godly counsel than to receive a supernatural dream. God speaks through the extraordinary and the ordinary, like conversations with friends or through the counsel of maybe a colleague that we trust. It's been said that one of the most common reasons why people see counselors is that they want their stories to be heard. In order to have your story heard, you need to have a listener. Jesus said that after he would leave his disciples, he would send another, the Holy Spirit. And he said the Holy Spirit would be their counselor. The Holy Spirit would be the great listener. The presence of God's Spirit in us listens to us, listens to our story. Is God's presence listening to our lives? And the benefits of this are great, because knowing that God is with us and knows everything going on in our lives, knows our story, brings us hope and brings us peace. But in turn, we benefit greatly to God's Spirit, the counselor, giving us counsel, telling us God's story as opposed to our story, giving us the inside track, insight, knowledge, and understanding in the big picture of what's going on in the world and not just our world. Many of us also miss out in listening to God because we don't apply the same conscientious, intellectual dedication to understanding God that we have applied to our A-levels, or our degrees, or our qualifications, or whatever other tests or exams we have done. There are so many good books written by Christian authors and writers that can give us greater expertise and share with us experience that maybe we've never had, that help us to hear what God is doing in the world. And maybe even have an opportunity to hear God saying something to us through these wonderful Christian books. I recently finished reading a book. And this book has enabled me to tune in better to what God has been saying to me recently. And I didn't choose it for that reason. I chose it because somebody else had said they read it and it was a fantastic book. Written by a Christian author. So I picked it up a couple of weeks ago and I started reading it and I couldn't put it down. And what I found was it helped me to understand what God was saying to me in that moment, because the author of the book had a similar experience to me. And it assured me that the decision that I recently made was the right decision. And when I finished reading the final page of that book, I closed the book. And I said to God, I hear you, God. I hear you. Because I knew that reading that book, he spoke to me through the life of that other Christian. And the work he'd done in their life poured into my life and said something true to me. So powerful. So powerful. There's a wealth of knowledge, expertise, and experience in books and podcasts that you can draw upon. And the other way we can listen to God is through personal reflection. There's a lovely little verse in the Christmas story that says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Perhaps sometimes we don't expect God to speak to us because we expect it to be like some sort of dramatic, booming, weird, deep-sounding voice, really unfamiliar and really odd. Whereas more than likely when God does speak to us, it's like a Samuel moment. It's in a familiar voice, like Samuel thought God's voice was Eli. Often God speaks to us in the familiar. It comes disguised as an ordinary thought or a whim. It usually happens to me when I'm lost in thought, when I'm driving the car in a long distance, or when I'm doing the gardening and I'm down on my knees and I'm lost in thought while I'm weeding, or I'm standing and I'm chopping up vegetables or getting something ready for tea and I'm lost in thought. And suddenly I realize that an idea has come into my head or somebody has come to mind and I think, God, is that you? How do you want me to respond to this? If it's somebody that's come to mind, do you want me to send them a text message or pick up the phone? Should I go around and visit them? Or if it's a thought or idea, should I share it with somebody else and bounce it off them? Or do you want me to hold it and pray about it for a little while longer? God speaks to us when we're on our own, personally reflecting on life, just in the ordinary things. Don't miss out on God in those moments. And the last moment I want to turn your attention to this morning, among the many ways that God speaks to us, is through actions of faith. Jesus once said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." I should have done a lot more listening in my Latin classes in grammar school. Because if I had done, I think I would have been far more informed than what I am. Because it turns out the Latin word obedire, a word that I cannot remember from my Latin classes, but obedire, from which we get the English obey, literally means to pay attention, to listen. There are times when we need to obey whatever God is asking of us, even if we don't know what the final outcome is. And I want to go back for a moment to Mary again. Because there was a moment in Mary's life when she was at a wedding in Cana with her son Jesus. And Jesus told the servants at the wedding to do something. And the servants were like, "What?" And they looked at his mum as though to say, Are we to follow your son here? Is this serious?" And she says, "Do whatever he asks of you." And Mary didn't say that because she knew what her son was about to do and what was going to be the outcome, what was about to happen. She said that because she knew the character of her son, Jesus. And she knew the possibilities when you obeyed him and listen to him. And then we all know the outcome of that wedding in Cana, the first miracle Jesus performed. It's good to remember that at the heart of the character of God is love. At the heart of the character of God, there's something eternally and perfectly good that we can trust and have confidence in. So there are times when we will listen to what God asks of us. And you might not know what the final outcome is. He might not reveal the full plan to you. But you need to trust him and act upon whatever he's asked of you. And then in doing that act of faith, we trust more in God than in ourselves. And so we are more attuned and actively listening to God because we are relying on God, because we're in a place of faith, not in self-dependence and self-reliance. That's a really powerful moment to be in. Do you know, the Bible also says that God speaks through creation, through our conscience, our sense of right and wrong, through angelic visitors, and even through somebody standing in front of you on a Sunday morning preaching. But let me say this, if we just rely on one of these, then we miss out on hearing God more often and more clearly. We need to be looking and expecting to hear God speak to us. Let me finish by sharing this thought with you about listening to God. Before a baby is born, before it can speak or see clearly, in the womb, a baby listens. And research suggests that babies can hear, in particular, their mother's voice. So when after the baby is born and it spends time with the mother, they can recognize their mother's voice and move their head to the direction of where that voice is coming from. And a baby is reassured by the mother's voice. You know yourself when you've taken a baby in hand and you've sat and you've nursed that baby and cuddled the baby. If you're not the mother, as soon as that baby starts to get upset, no matter how many funny noises you make or kind words you say, at the end of the day, it needs to go back to its mother and be soothed by its mother's voice and comforted. And as soon as it goes back into its mother's arm, wow, it's like magic. Well, actually, I wish it was like magic sometimes for me when I have my kids. It doesn't always work like that, but normally it's like magic. And this baby is comforted and reassured because it's in that familiar place with that familiar voice. Maybe that was what Samuel was learning, to discern God's voice among other voices. Maybe you're in that womb-like place where you're learning to hear God's voice. Listen. Listen. Listen to God if you're in that place. God longs for us to listen, to have his undivided attention. Beyond childhood, our relationships with others are strengthened when we listen to and are listened to. Listening is more than just hearing. To truly listen, you must give your undivided attention and put aside your own agenda and your own needs. Listening to God will strengthen our relationship with God. But sadly, it's the most neglected aspect of our relationship. Indeed, many of us would find that our prayer life, our conversation with God, is so much richer and better if we take time to listen to God. Because just as children learn to speak by listening to those around them, getting things right, making mistakes, trial and error, they quickly learn to choose words and they quickly learn to put words in the right order. They quickly learn to speak because they have listened. And so it is with God. We learn to speak to God through listening to God speak to us. In all the different ways God speaks to us. So perhaps this morning, where I finish this short series on conversations with God is actually where you might start. If you're just starting to learn to listen to God, then go to the surest place you know you'll hear God. That may be to a book in the Bible. Start there. It may be to meditate on a verse in the Bible. There. It may be go to your happy place, the place where you know you find peace. It may be your garden. It may be somewhere you go for a walk. It may be your bedroom. But go somewhere where you know you'll be able to listen to God with very little noise to drown out God's voice and very few distractions. As Jesus was growing up, every Jewish boy would read the Psalms and learn the Psalms, learn them off by heart. It was known as the Jewish prayer book because of that. Perhaps if you were to start anywhere, you might start in the Psalms. Take a psalm a day or a psalm a week. Have your cup of coffee or your tea at hand, or maybe before you get out of your car for work in the morning or before you go to sleep at night, use a psalm to open up a conversation with God. listening and speaking, speaking and listening. And be assured that God's Holy Spirit will shine a light on what you're reading or what you are seeing, and God will speak to you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for all the different ways you speak to us. I thank you, God, that your voice is not confined to these four walls in this place, or any place or any building. But your voice can be heard in heaven and earth. Jesus once said, "Take care how you listen. For whoever has, to them more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what they think they have shall be taken away." May we listen to you so we have more, and live well serving you, God. Because as Jesus says, we lose out on so much when we fail to listen to you, God. Teach us to listen to you. May we find places where we can listen to you. May we listen to you in conversations with others. The conversations we have in our head. And even in conversation with you, God. At times, maybe there may be less of our words and more of yours. So this morning we pray, "Speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. Give us ears to hear you, eyes to see you, wills to obey you, hearts to love you." In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, the news is filled with heartbreaking situation after heartbreaking situation. Lord, you know each and every one of them. You know every person caught up in them and affected by them. Lord, we pray that your love, grace, and compassion would be in every situation, in every corner of the world. In particular, Lord, we pray for Afghanistan. We are shocked, saddened, overwhelmed, and even horrified at the news and scenes reaching us from there. For all those at Kabul Airport desperately trying to leave Afghanistan, we pray. We can barely imagine what they must be going through. They might be exhausted, terrified, anxious, truly desperate. Lord, whatever they are feeling, be with them. Protect them, comfort them, and give them hope. For the family and friends of those who were killed in Friday's bomb attack at Kabul Airport, we pray. May they feel your presence and love. And Lord, end such attacks. May there be no more. We pray for peace and protection for those remaining in Afghanistan, those who face great uncertainty and the threat of human rights abuses. For the children in Afghanistan, we pray. We pray that even under the control of the Taliban, that schools and educational programs will somehow function. Keep children safe, Lord, and preserve their dignity. We pray for women, girls, ethnic and religious minorities. Lord, since the 1990s, when the Taliban were known to have an extreme interpretation of Sharia law, when there was oppressive rule for minorities and violent punishments for those who did not obey or conform, there has been much progress. Please, Lord, don't let this progress be reversed. Lord, thousands of internally displaced Afghans face famine. We pray that supply chain issues will be resolved so that food is accessible and affordable. And Lord, give wisdom to all those involved in the international response to this crisis. May it be coordinated and effective. Lord, we pray for the people of Haiti. The recent earthquake has caused devastation. 2,200 people have died, 12,000 have been injured, 320 people are still missing, 130,000 homes have been damaged or destroyed, and 650,000 people are in need of humanitarian assistance. Pre-existing needs and problems have been exacerbated. The earthquake has come at a time of political crisis, not long after the assassination of the country's president, at a time when gang violence is rife, and at a time of socio-economic challenges. Be with the people of Haiti. Give them strength and hope to rebuild their lives, their houses, and their livelihoods. And Lord, give wisdom to those with power, so that unrest and violence may come to an end. And Lord, we pray for the people of Madagascar, who are on the brink of experiencing the world's first climate change famine. There has been no rain for 4 years, and 30,000 people are already experiencing the highest internationally recognised level of food insecurity. Lord, we pray for rain and provision. And Lord, we hoped, we prayed that the COVID-19 pandemic would have long since ended, but sadly its effects are still being felt far and wide. We pray for all those in hospital suffering from COVID-19. May they know your presence and take comfort from your unending love. Be with medical staff working in difficult, high-pressured environments. Give them energy, strength, and compassion. And finally, Lord, at the start of this new academic year, we pray for our children and young people returning to school. Give them confidence, strength, and enthusiasm. Give teachers wisdom and understanding, strength to lead and grace to guide. And for young people heading off to university, perhaps living away from home for the first time, fill them with enthusiasm and excitement. Grant them wisdom and equip them for the adventures which lie ahead. And Lord, protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.